This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us here in a beautiful 90-degree day in Phoenix, Arizona. When I lived in Colorado, 90 felt hot, but after living here for 4 years, 90 is the new 70, and feels quite pleasant. So today I welcome Pastor Jim Tilley back. Jim, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Thank you, my friend. So I'm going to start out with a little bit of a short story. There was a senior pastor of a church, this was years ago, who had a porn problem. He was binging on porn. Once a day, and he was terrified and didn't feel like he could tell anybody at his church to get help, and he was terrified. He told me he was scared that his elder board would fire him if he told them. So he and I were talking on the phone, and I was acting as his accountability partner a little bit. This was 20 years ago. We were talking once every day or two, and so the question I have for you to begin with, Jim, is share with us what kind of unique struggles does a pastor have when they are struggling with these issues with pornography or sexual sin?
Right. Excellent question, Mike. Well, I would say, I would say this. I mean, absolutely, the Lord calls us to high integrity, and that's true. That said, anyone comes into ministry as the fallen human being they are. And I think both for the culture in general, the Christian culture, and we internalize this as pastors, we really don't get a freedom to embrace ourselves in Christ as human beings, one, and human beings with a sanctified nature, but with a fallen nature. And I think the biggest obstacle is kind of a pedestal that you're not expected to have these problems. You shouldn't have these problems. And just by, gritting your teeth or knowing the Bible better, they should all magically disappear. I mean, our anthropology on this, I think, has become very sub-biblical. Every one of us, leader or not, is a radically fallen person. I don't know whether it's part of your stats or not, Mike, but I think it needs to be included. One out of six pastors today, one out of six, is having sexual intercourse with a female parishioner. Mm. The problem is huge. So we need to get beyond, it's one of a million people out there somewhere, and you're a unique demonic fiend if you have these problems. That's got to be shattered. It doesn't mean we go easy on sin, no. But we need to look in the mirror and say it's all of our problem, and that's where we start. So I think even an executive board has to say, look, our pastor is a human being with a soul and a history and a brokenness, and frankly, in most seminaries, there's nil to no expectation of training for the healing of your soul. If you go get therapy, that's really valuable, but most don't insist on that. So my answer is, we got to come off a pedestal, Mike. Jesus calls us to a high standard, but he doesn't call us to live on a pedestal. There's a big difference.
In addition to those one in six pastors who are having intercourse with parishioners, there's also the 40 to 50% of pastors who at some level are struggling with pornography or lust or all that goes along with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we swim in it. And we have two choices. We can either pretend it's not a problem, or we can say, look, we don't live in this ideal world where this stuff doesn't exist. We live in this world. And Jesus Christ died for the people of this world. And he can redeem you know, and he does and can. But the first level is to get off a pedestal and say, we need to offer all kinds of open doors to pastors to find, you know, good, solid, confidential men's groups and counselors. And, you know, if I was in charge of seminary education now, I think therapy and groups, single gender groups, would be absolutely required. Because, you know, you've got to prepare pastors by formation, not by just assumption. And that's a lot of what's happening now.
Well, I have others who have been through Bible college or seminary tell me that all they've been taught, not that this is bad in of itself, but that all they've been taught is how to basically understand and preach and teach the word. But to me, that's like sending somebody out into the battlefield in their pajamas.
Good image, Mike. Yeah, good image, exactly. And then normalize it and say, you're a broken guy, you're deeply loved, God has the power to do a transformation in you from the bottom of your molecules up. And that's, of course, what you need. So, you know, to be surprised that we're sinners is unbiblical. I'm not minimizing or justifying sin, not in the slightest. But I'm saying this is our ground. We are broken people, and we desperately need help, supremely our leaders. Mm. Yeah.
So
what I would say, too, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I just think, you know, and I tell your listeners that Mike is not paying me to say this, but and you're not. But I've known Mike and the Blazing Grace for some time now, and this is just one of the premier ministries that lays these good foundations and loves people well and says, look, we don't expect you to be a superhuman pole vaulter. You're a broken person. You need love. You need help. You need grace. You need truth. Don't be ashamed to let the one who died on the cross for you really be your savior. And this group, you know, you lead, Mike, I'm a clinical psychologist. I've got a PhD in clinical psych from Fuller, as well as being a pastor. And Blazing Grace is one of the premier groups. There's many, but, you know, around that there is. And I can't encourage your listeners enough. Get help. Admit you're hurting. I had to do that. I went through a fall myself. And, you know, it was groups like Blazing Grace and others that put me back together. And now my message is, guys, let's not pretend. The upper has no clothes. We don't have pajamas even, Mike. You know, we're out there and we need help. And there's should be no shame to get help from a Savior who has crucified shame for us.
Well, thanks, my friend. And let's talk about the pedestal for a moment in Christian culture and Christian celebrity celebrity worship, and talk about all of that and the expectations that, and even perception that somebody who has a big public platform, they walk on water.
Exactly. Well, you know, it reminds me of our own political situation. We might get into some other time. But, you know, I think American culture, we bought into a theology of being giving ourselves permission to be spectators. The American Christian Church struggles a great deal with being a spectator. And I know Francis Chan stepped down from the mega church, not because of a fall, but because, you know, he said, I'm tired of exercising my spiritual gifts while 10,000 people are sitting there watching me exercise my gifts and not exercising theirs. And yeah, I think the church is all, we are all at fault for that. We give our spiritual out away to the superhero, and we need to stop doing that. The second thing is, I'm very familiar with Bill Hybels' situation, Ravi Zacharias and Gordon McDonald's and others, and even my own. And I think, you know, popularity in ministry is dangerous. One researcher said, this is, you know, people pleasing and being adored by the crowds is five times more addicting than crack cocaine. It is dangerous. And so, you know, we really have to come to a place, you know, I mean, I see from my own story, Mike, exactly how this happens. You get people thinking you are the best thing since the Apostle Paul, and it feeds your ego. We don't think it will, but it does. And you know, and then we get to this thing where we feel like we can now go out and create our own boundaries and rules, and we'll be fine. And, you know, I think poor Bill, whom I love and respect to this day, he's a fellow sinner like me. That's exactly what happened. He was the darling of evangelicalism, And, you know, he could thought he could have inappropriate contact with women just because he could. So, you know, I think strong accountability needs to happen for leaders. They need to be in a small group that's inventorying what they're thinking, what they're doing, who they're touching, who they're relating to in detail every day. But we have to share blame as a church, Mike. We have to say, look, you know, we give power away to these people and expect them to be our dazzling spiritual heroes, but we need to be the leaders to call each other accountability. So, but yeah, the bottom line is expectations have to say, look, we're all fallen sinners, no matter how powerful of a speaker you are. And also it's the rationalism that says, if you're eloquent, that must mean you're whole. Well, I'm the poster boy for being a very charismatically enthusiastic speaker and preacher, but I didn't have the moral, character, quiet, underlying development to sustain my gifts. And that's what we've got to go after in the church. You know, we have to insist on the accountability. And so the church has to change its expectations, and the leaders have to be accountable too. But, you know, this superstar thing is, you know, we've just got to gently and lovingly defy that in every way we can.
You use the analogy crack cocaine, and you know the high yeah. of ministry, and to me, what is dangerous about that is if you start getting high on that, ministry can become your drug, and then it becomes yes. a gateway to burnout and a big time crash. Mm. What's your take on that?
Yes, yeah, well, absolutely, because you're really shifting from intimate reliance on Jesus indwelling you into the norepinephrine or whatever it is of adulation. And frankly, women's adulation. One commentator said the greatest problem in the church is that the pastors are the emotional husbands of the women. Mm. And I think that's, you know, profoundly, profoundly true. But yeah, approval. I think a lot of us that go into ministry, we definitely have unresolved codependency. We definitely need the attention, and unless we really address that in therapy well and stay accountable to it, I think you're going to get sucked into it. So it's really coming back to accountability groups that say, are you really soaking on Jesus, or you're doing some of him, but you're also mainlining the hit of the next adoration. So mm-hmm. I remember when I went into major depression once, someone told me after church, that was an amazing sermon. And the little voice in my head goes off and says, you got to be more amazing next week. And, you know, I think as only as I resolved with why my inner child stuff was demanding that, that's the only way I got out of that trap. You know, you don't have to be more amazing next week. You just have to be surrendered to Jesus next week.
Yeah.
And is that enough for me or is that not? You know, And honestly, for many of us, it's not. And we gotta really get humble and open up and look at that.
Well, the dangerous words in that sentence are "you have to be," because once we get into "I have to be," now I'm working out of the flesh and saying, "Okay, God, whatever you want to do."
Yeah, bingo. So I think the church needs to come with a big public declaration of, look, you know, we're not going to do hero worship anymore. Every single person is going to be accountable for their own leadership and discipleship. I was in a renewal movement where one of the talks on the renewal weekend was the leader's talk. And it says, it's not just for the name people, it's for you in the mirror, because everyone in Christ is a leader in the sense you have an influence. You're either a bad leader or a good leader, but we are responsible for our own discipleship. Every one of us, that is not something we can, you know, pass off to some star. So I think we just have to renounce that loudly and passionately and lovingly, truthfully together. We're not going to play hero worship anymore. We're not going to expect it from our pastors. We're not going to let them do it. We're not going to demand it, you know?
Mm. One senior pastor I had lunch with told me that not long after he got into the ministry leading a church, and this guy is big, charismatic, you know, good looking. He told me that women were hitting on him thereafter yeah. messages. I mean, this is not something that you hear brought out to the light very often, but it needs to be.
Right. Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, when you say that, Mike, I want to say this gently, but we really do need to underline your stats about a third of the women have trouble with pornography. And many, many of the women have their own issues, and I respect them. I don't mean this as a hostile critique, but they have exactly those issues. They have a neediness for male approval, and that can get all kinds of sideways. In my ministry, I was working with not one, not two, not three, but four couples wrestling with adultery. And in every one of the four, it was the woman. And, you know, she was advanced planning rendezvous days ahead of time in motels and the whole nine yards. So, you know, we have to be humble, as you and I are men, so we have to be humble here. But this is a problem of both genders. You know, sexuality can stuff all kinds of deep emotional voids, and we need to be open and honest about that. The women in my current church has a great ministry to women, you know, and it's a very conservative church, and she's admitted that, yes, some come to her with same-sex attraction struggles and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I'm not trying to deflect off of men, but I'm just saying this is a human problem, not just a male problem. And so your example is a good one. You know, it's idolatry, Mike, is what it is. You know, we're looking to something besides Jesus. I know I'm preaching to the choir. We're looking to something besides Jesus to fill the ultimate wounds and voids and sins and holes inside. And lo and behold, it never works.
No, never.
But to call it out openly, I'm glad we're talking about this, to call it out openly, lovingly, gently, not shaming any individual, but say, look, we are broken people. Let's stop pretending that we're not. We're needy. Our neediness has taken us all kinds of down all kinds of holes we never thought we'd go down, but we do routinely. So let's stop pretending that everything is hunky-dory and become the hospital for sinners rather than the museum for saints, you know, and then stop investing in statue polish. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you talked about groups earlier and accountability groups and support groups, and those are so critical to have those relationships.
Yes.
And the other side of that coin is that, let's be honest, we have to be very careful who we share with, because not everybody
yes.
can keep their mouth shut, and not everybody
yes,
is
right.
safe. And I've talked to
right.
people, including pastors, who have tried to open up with one person, and they got torn apart. So speak to that.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one, Mike. Very good. Thank you. Well, you know, I in my experience in over 50 years of different kinds of ministry, I would say trust has to be built. And I think when you build a relationship, you start with a smaller, safer kinds of things and see what kind of response you get. And I'm a big one for thinking accountability has to be a two-way street. If you share something of smaller or moderate size, and then that accountability partner responds with a similar share, you know, you're building some trust. I would say don't be accountable to somebody who's not humble and open about their own brokenness and their own need for the Savior equally as you. So, yeah, that's you're right. That does happen. That's terrible when it does. But I would say build it gradually. But build it. It's necessary. And again, the flag for a safe person is, are they sharing with you where they're broken? Are they taking responsibility for that? Are they giving you grace in the small stuff for you and for them? And hopefully that leads to them giving grace in the bigger stuff.
Hmm.
That's a good question, though. Yeah.
Well, I actually, what you just mentioned, I have in one of my books, the book for wife, The Wife's Heart, telling them you need to share with another woman the pain and sorrow you're going through, but be very careful.
Right.
And there's some people, you say the word porn or sex or married to it, and their eyes blank out, and you just lost them.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. And that's where ministries like Blazing Grace and by the grace of God, the whole church will get behind. We need a sea change, Mike. We need a culture change. We need to not think of these things as, yeah, the one in a million problem way over there. You know, this is normal stuff. We also need to do much more. And, you know, there's ministries that are doing more and more on this, educating kids about, you know, what this is really like. You know, you're going to have attractions. You're going to have arousals. What do you do with them? What do they mean? Does it, you know, you see this other person you're real excited about him as a young teenager, well, that excitement doesn't mean they can become a savior. Mm. It feels like it, but what do you do with that feeling? Well, you have to acknowledge that it's powerful, but realize that it's like, I like to say it's like airplane glue. You know, airplane glue is good for cementing things together, and really that's what sex is, to cement a man and a woman together in marriage. But sniffing it is not good for you. And it can feel awful great for a moment. So, but we have to not pretend like kids have no idea what these problems are. They're not just swimming it in the secular culture. They're going through this as normally broken, fallen people who have no idea what to do with all this stuff searching around. Let's talk openly about it. You know, that's going to be huge to do better and better, I think. And then we're not, you know, we're saddened if somebody falls, and we should be. Absolutely don't want to minimize that, but we have a safety net that can handle that. It's not some, you know, shocking thing from the planet Venus. It's a human problem that unless we go after it lovingly and openly and directly, it's just going to fester. So. And modeling is key. You know, I think public modeling. I'm encouraging my church to do a lot more public testimonies, whether it's about sexuality or anything, but just say, hey, here's what it's really like to be me, you know? And like you said, they can modulate what they want to share to a larger audience. That's fine. But really modeling transparency publicly. And this is part of worship, to open up, you know, to confess sins to one another, pray for each other, want to be healed. Make a sea change in the culture, you know, where having struggles is a normal thing. And this is for what Jesus died for, rather than, oh my gosh, you know, you're not a happy little camper with a 2.4 kids behind a white picket fence. Oh, gee, you're not? What a shock. I mean, that's just got to go on the ash heap, because that's just not true.
Yeah, I often tell people that sometimes the best sermon we can preach is to share our brokenness.
Exactly. And look how Jesus meets people that do, you know? The woman in Luke 7 that comes wiping his feet with her hair, everyone knows who she is. They don't think she should be there. Jesus thinks she should be there. And that's the only thing that counts.
Yep.
And, you know, your faith is great. Go in peace. You've sinned much, but you've loved much, therefore you're forgiven much. Let's wipe his feet together and let that be the normal Christian life, you know? Yeah.
So for I mean,
we act like, yeah, go ahead.
So for a moment, let's say that you're sitting in a room with a pastor one-on-one,
yeah,
and he's struggling. What would you say to him?
Yeah. I think the first thing I would say to you is, brother, Jesus loves you no matter what, and I'm going to too. And I think the second thing would be to promise him, I am not ever going to condemn you. Jesus doesn't condemn me. I'm not going to condemn you. I would love to hear what's going on. And, you know, I think for me, Mike, I've done this a lot. I think where it's sensitively helpful, I would share some of my own broken story, because I think folks, when they're bound up in, you know, what feels like to them utterly unique shame, they think they're the only one. And if I can be a person that starts the ball rolling tactfully, you know, depending on what they need, at least alluding to, you know, I've had a problem with porn. I crossed boundaries in ministry and had to step out, you know, and at least making a reference to it so they know they're not talking to, you know, St. Peter II or something. You know, they'll be open. You know, that's a foundation. And I think it's just really encouraging them to confess whatever they're ready for. And then we offer that to Jesus in deep prayer. But I think then it's normalizing, look, you know, you didn't sign up to have this struggle, but you're here and Jesus can meet you here. Let's keep walking together. Let's get you help, you know. So, gentleness, grace, and then, yeah, the key, I think, in my ministry, Mike, has just been my own sharing. So they don't feel like they're, you know, they're talking to an unapproachable one or something. That opens people up and it helps them feel like, there's hope. You know, if Jesus can meet this guy, maybe he can still care for me, and I can live aside from the pedestal. Oh.
Well, Jim, 20 seconds. Anything you want to say?
Well, I just want to tell everybody that, you know, and again, Mike's not paying me, but tune into this ministry, gang. It is valuable. It is biblical. It is excellent. It's full of grace. Please don't hear this and go steep, keep hiding. Get healing and get help. Jesus died for you to get that. And he loves you and you deserve it.
Well, thank you, Jim. And we're going to continue this conversation next week with Pastor Jim Tilley. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.